and Joseph craved the body of Jesus. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on this precious word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dear ones, today we're going into the story of Joseph of Arimathea, a gentleman who took care of the body of Jesus after the crucifixion. It says, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Now this story is found in all four Gospels. So we have a Joseph at the beginning of the life of Jesus, Joseph, the husband of Mary, and we have a Joseph at the end of the life of Jesus, before his resurrection. Something both had in common was, or were, number one, they both had an unusual perception of what was going on, and secondly, neither said anything much, neither was a talker. And so remember them, not for what they said, but for what they did. Both knew to do the right thing at the right time. Last week I talked to you about women disciples. There's no record of any one of the disciples of the 11 of Jesus having been there to witness the greatest event in the salvation of man, Jesus giving his life on the cross to the very end. We know John is said to have been there at least briefly because Jesus told him to take care of his mother, but most likely he disappeared before the end. Because when Jesus' body was dead, it had to be buried on the same day. It was the law. The people who died of capital punishment to be buried on the same day they died. In this case, there were only about 4 hours, from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till sunset, where his body would have to be disposed of. Women could not take care of these burial arrangements. Had John, who loved Jesus so much, been there, no doubt he would have made these arrangements. And if Joseph had not shown up, Jesus would have been put into a mass grave, so the scholars say. We conclude Joseph was the only male disciple present at Jesus' death. Now you say, Pastor Schulze, how do we know Joseph was a disciple? Well, to put it clearly and plainly, Matthew tells us, we'll go to Matthew 27. It says there, when even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. That is, my friend, loud and clear. Notice 5 characteristics here of true victorious disciples. The one is they are present. They have a ministry of presence. Secondly, Joseph waited for the kingdom of God. That's what all disciples do. Thirdly, Joseph was bold. That's also what all disciples are. Fourthly, he craved the body of Jesus, that is, he wanted Jesus more than anything else in the world, dead or alive. And here he's dead. He was dead. Fifthly, disciples give Jesus the best. Joseph knew that Jesus was the Son of God or the Messiah, or at least one of the greatest men, if not the greatest man, whoever was sent from God. And so Joseph, knowing that, my friend, gave Jesus the very best. And so, him being wealthy, he had a tomb cut out into the rock for himself. But when Jesus died, he immediately, without hesitation, gave that tomb to the body of Jesus. My friend, I know that rich people have got a lot of bad reputation with some, but here's something good. Wasn't it good to have this rich man, Joseph, around so that Jesus did not have to be buried in a mass grave with evil folk? Oh, my friend, he was buried in a fancy tomb. So, Would it have been necessary for Mark to say that Joseph was a disciple? Not so. Joseph had all the traits of a disciple, a true follower of Jesus. We can see it without having Mark tell us so. So here, in fact, it looked like he looked even better than the remaining disciples, the 11. Judas had already left. I say again, as I told you before, first of all, that Joseph had a ministry of presence. The ministry of presence stands at the beginning of true discipleship, and it continues throughout. Being there is more important than I can possibly tell you. Let's go back to verse 40 of this passage. It says, "There were also women." Hallelujah. The Greek here really tells us that there were there certain women. Oh, I tell you, my friend, how powerful is a ministry of there-ness. Yes, all these people were there on the day of Pentecost, praying day after day after day, when visibly nothing exciting happened. But, my friend, God rewards there-ness. If we're there where Jesus wants us to be, and indeed the day came when the Holy Spirit fell, and he fell on all of them that were there. Oh, how few there are who stay at the place God sent them. How few are they who are not drawn away by quick action programs over there, or someone who has more knowledge over another place, but who are staying with where God put them. It is they, my friend, who have been there, who stood with God's servants throughout the ages, through whom God has worked the things of eternity. Oh, pity on those shallow Christians who are drawn away by self-interest when it looks like the boat is sinking. They run off with the rest of the crowd, missing the baptism of the Spirit by the Lord. So, Joseph was there. Secondly, Joseph waited for the kingdom of God when the 11 had given up on the kingdom of God, even though they had been with Jesus for 3 years. A sudden newcomer appears out of nowhere who was still believing and hoping for the kingdom of God, although Jesus' body was hanging dead on the tree. Glory to God. When all the physical signs said, "It's over," this one man said, "It's not over." "I see," he said, "beyond the physical, I see the kingdom of God still ahead." Oh, doesn't Joseph help us? Doesn't he become bigger and bigger as we study him? Thirdly, I said he was bold. It says he boldly went to Pilate, the one whom the 12 were afraid of, the one they ran away from, is the one Joseph goes to. This disciple, my friend, was bold before Pentecost. The others only became bold after Pentecost. Every church ought to have a bunch of Josephs and Josephines. And all Josephs did not speak to us with words, he spake to all the world to us today through his examples of true discipleship. Fourthly, it says Joseph craved the body of Jesus. Dead or alive, Joseph risked his life to get Jesus' body, to hold Jesus in his arms, to hold this wonderful man in his arms and carry him. Instead, the disciples locked themselves in the upper room for fear of the Jews. Jesus, it seems, had now dropped to the back stage of their minds. No burial plans, no future plans or arrangements came from these 11 who tried to save themselves now. Why were they not there to bury their beloved Lord, to make these final arrangements? Well, one reason was, normally a man would hang on a cross for 3, 4, 10, sometimes more than 10 days. So it was not time to think about it. But if they did not do it, if they did not bury him, God had a substitute person for them. Oh, how easy it is for us to lose our vision in the heat of the battle. Any time you get your eyes off Jesus, you get wrapped up with yourself and your own problems, and you go into deception and darkness without knowing it. Now, let's pick up another thought that will help us, a wonderful thought, and that is that when man fails, God always has a substitute or a substitute plan. When Adam and Eve failed in the garden because of disobedience, immediately God created a substitute plan, which put Jesus in the middle of it. When it looked like all the money was gone for Jesus to pay custom, he managed to find a coin and a fish's mouth. My friend, when all the bread was gone, Jesus was still able to produce thousands of loaves more. When all the ammunition is spent to fight the devil, my friend, God always still has another bullet for you. Someone said God has never been able to follow plan A. He's always had to come up with plan B and C. Immediately out of nowhere came Joseph of Arimathea to make up the gap, saying to Pilate, "Give me this body. I'll take care of all the burial arrangements." I'll tell you, this man was on time. It seems like he had been planning this all along. It seemed like he was going to stick it out, and so he did. Well, we don't know where this man came from, but I'll tell you, God knows where he came from. I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9. It says, "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was deceit in his mouth." Who is this talking about? Isaiah is talking about Jesus. 700 years before he died, Jesus died with wicked men, a thief on one side, a rebel on the other side, but he was buried in the tomb of a rich man. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you, 700 years before Joseph got out of his mother's womb, God knew him, God called him, God ordained him to be the man at the cross to carry the body of Jesus to his tomb. He put something within him that said, "I must at any cost be there and do it." All of these 12 had the opportunity to have carried the dead body of Jesus, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Had they just stayed at the cross a little longer, they all had the opportunity to carry the man of God, the Son of God, in their arms from the cross to the tomb. But it was given to Joseph of Arimathea. So Joseph got some fine linen and he took him off the cross. Well, let me give you the sequence of these beautiful words of action. It comes from verse 46. It says, "And he bought fine linen, and he took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulchre." Here, friend, look at these words of action which speak volumes. He bought, he took, he wrapped, he laid, he rolled a stone under the door of the sepulchre. He didn't go along with the crowd. He stayed where God wanted him to be. Aren't you glad? And then the final verse, verse 15 and the 15th chapter says, "And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, beheld where he was laid." Back again, here's the honor roll of two women, always there. There at the cross, there at his death, there at the tomb, and there, my friend, on the day of Pentecost, I'm sure to be endued with power from on high. I believe these two women probably said to Joseph, "Thank you, Joseph, for having done this." And I imagine Joseph could have said in a very simple way, "It was my privilege." But I believe 3 days later, Joseph said more than that. He probably said, "This man that I carried from the cross to the tomb is my Savior and my Lord." Thank you for listening. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now until next week.